In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Wish to remind you all that today is the final day, the octave day of All Saints. And so it is the last day when one can gain a full indulgence for the poor souls. If you've been keeping up all this time, don't let your strength fail now. Souls that need it. Souls that need it. Lone Fir is really close by. There are lots of souls that are there, and I've been there almost every night, well after 10 o'clock. It's a pleasant place to pray. Pray for souls who get very little prayer because of where they're located. Don't let that be their fault for eternity. Tomorrow, God willing, your pastor will be back. If not, then on Friday morning, and this reign of terror will come to an end. And we'll see the light just over the hillside. So stay with me just a little bit longer. Today, our readings have to do, as we've been going over every day, on the reality of the real presence in the Eucharist, and that our Lord makes a promise to those who receive him well, that what they receive will be their treasure in truth for eternity. What we receive under the veil of sacramental signs takes on the reality they are held within, if we receive him well, if we receive him worthily, if we receive him with faith. If you're ever given to doubt that salvation is at hand, remember what he says here in John 6. That he says, who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has my life within him, and I will raise him on the last day. And so should you seek to strive to let that echo within your soul, and as you receive him, to ask him for that grace of final perseverance, what have you to fear? His words are true because he is truth itself. None of this can be doubted. Today we have the feast of a great saint of the church, who few recognize because she's a very new saint. In fact, a week ago, when we preached to you that sermon on the 2nd of November, it was basically an echoing of her spirituality for life, of what God had spoken to her and set her on flames from a very young age. St. Elizabeth of the Trinity, today is her feast day. You may not mark that on your calendar presently, but maybe from here on you should recall that. It's the octave day of All Saints. St. Elizabeth of the Trinity, this blessed woman, a follower of St. Teresa of Avila in her Discalced Carmelite Order, and had just received, when she entered into religious life, had discovered The Story of a Soul, which had only been recently published. She received it just 2 years after its publication. And there, it's not that Therese taught her anything, for Therese didn't teach her much. Rather, Therese confirmed things that were already going on within her own soul. I encourage you to read her writings. You can find them from the best translation of them in English, anyway, would be from ICS Publications. That's Institute of Carmelite Studies. Good works on them, and if you buy a certain number of books from them, they give you a pretty steep discount, no matter how pricey or inexpensive those number of items might be. It's a way to game the system if you're wanting to look for that. That's what I did when I was a poor seminarian. Give you something on her spirituality. What it is, she's called Elizabeth of the Trinity because she was so fascinated with God, who in three persons inhabits the soul from the moment of baptism. And so she took that very same thing which we preached about on that Monday. Remember, we were only quoting what Teresa of Avila speaks in her Interior Castle, chapter 2, number 9, paragraph 9. That was all the fascination of what God desires to do within the soul, that we need not go a great distance to find God or throw our prayers up to the sky in some sort of way. But it's all about a realizing that God ultimately is really located far closer to us than we could ever imagine. He's within, in the soul. If you're baptized, that's exactly where he inhabits, in the soul. And so to live our lives recognizing that reality, that he is right there, why journey any further? The true contemplative, the true mystic, the one who actually seeks God, should be each of us. Really just have to go deeper within to find God. And he'll show you who you ultimately are. He reveals man's identity to himself. I'll share with you a little writing of this great saint. Maybe to light the fire for your desire to get to know her better. She quotes here a passage which I believe we had on Sunday Mass recently for the epistle from Philippians chapter 3. Here follows her own writings. She says, "It seems to me that all is a loss, since I have known the excellent knowledge of my Lord Jesus Christ. For love of him, I have forfeited everything. I have accounted all else to be rubbish, that I might gain Christ alone. What I want to know is him, to share in his sufferings, to become like him in his death. So I pursue my course, striving to attain what he has destined for me by taking hold of me. My whole concern is to forget what is behind and to strain forward constantly to what is ahead. So I run straight to the goal, to the vocation to which God has called me in Christ Jesus. Here she has merely been paraphrasing Philippians chapter 3, verse 8 through 14, which she summarizes in one further quotation from the same letter of St. Paul. She says, "That's it. I only want to be identified with him. For to me, life is Christ." All the intensity of St. Paul is poured out in these lines. May we become more like our adored master, and even more to become so one with him that we may say, "I live no more." To become so one with him that we may say, "I live no longer, but he lives in me, and that life which I now live within the flesh, this body of death, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me." She quotes here Galatians 2:20. She continues on to say, "Let us study this divine love. Let us model his knowledge. The apostle tells us, which is so excelling. And when he first came into the world, what did he say? He said, 'You no longer delight in holocausts, so I have assumed a body, and I come, O God, to do your will.'" Here she quotes Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5 through 7. Continuing, she says, "During the 33 years of his life, this will become so completely his daily bread that at the moment of his handing over his soul into the Father's hand, he could say to him, 'All is accomplished. Yes, all your desires, all have been realized.' That is why his apostles, that is why I have glorified you on earth." When Jesus spoke to his apostles of the food which they did not know, he explained to them that it was to do the will of him that sent me. All he could say was, "I'm never alone. He who sent me is always with me, because I was always one who did the things that are pleasing unto him." She concludes her exploration of the scripture saying, "Let us lovingly eat this bread of the will of God. If sometimes his will is more crucifying, we can doubtless say with our adored master, 'Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass me by.' But we will immediately add, 'Yet not as I will, but as you will.' And in strength and serenity with the divine crucified, we will also climb our Calvary, singing in the depths of our hearts and raising a hymn of thanksgiving to the Father. For those who march on this way of sorrow are the ones whom he foreknew and predestined to be conformed to the image of his divine Son, the one crucified by love." What does Elizabeth of the Trinity drive us to? She drives us to the intensity of taking everything it is that is spoken about our Lord and Master, our King Christ, to heart. To really live in full radicality everything it is that is spoken about one who is passionately in love with the Lord. Realizing that everything that happened before the encounter with Christ is but dross. As St. Paul even spoke, "My righteousness is but filthy rags, polluted rags, things which must be disposed of because they are so foul. Yet Christ is everything. Christ is everything for the soul." And so as we press more deeply into this relationship with Christ, trusting that he has something greater for us, we can actually allow ourselves to die in his presence and to say, "I surrender all to you, Lord. Whatever it is that you want, you're here. And I know that you hear my voice and the cries of my heart because you're in the very center of my heart. That is your real dwelling place. And the whole quest of my life is nothing else than to actually be present to you. For you are always present to me." Elizabeth of the Trinity only desired to move more deeply inside of who she is and to ponder he who is already living and loving within her at the very center of who she is. And if this seems like this is something which is far beyond you, the reality is that it is, but not as far as you think. Because what are we about to do? If you've prepared yourself well, our Lord will come to you. And he will come unto you under sacramental signs and present himself saying, I wish to be in you all the more. Turn your focus into me. As you eat me, I wish that you would be present to me within. For the place where I go is to the very center of who you are. It is this very mystery which the whole grace of the Eucharist is meant to unlock for us. Ask the patron of today to unveil your eyes, so that he who you receive can truly be viewed, adored, and loved by you, not as a distant figure, some far off that you must somehow make yourself worthy of, but somebody who sees your need for him and so comes so very close to, as the saints have often said of him, that he is closer to you than you are even unto yourself. In the name of the Father,